Jesus, we thank you that we can call in your name no matter what's going on, Father, whether we are going through something, God, whether we're fearful, whether we're feeling anxious, God, we just thank you that we can call in the name of Jesus in all times, and we can know that there is victory in that name. Jesus, we thank you that you bore our stripes so that we can be whole and healed. God, thank you for sending your Son to die for us so that we can be whole and reunited with you. Father, thank you for the reminder today of that powerful name of Jesus, your Son. God, I pray that this morning we would just be encouraged through this Sunday. God, lift us up through this. Bless us and help us focus fully on you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, music team. It's interesting. We're still seeing people come back from time away, from summer, from harvest, and all those different things. And we still have poor Gary out there on call this weekend, but that's okay. He's working hard, I'm sure, enjoying the beautiful rain. But the other thing is, we're also learning new things like the technology. So this morning I was trying to help Ella with the video projection stuff and the video switch. And I thought I turned it onto the screen, but I didn't. I turned it on to the one on the floor, and then I decided to walk up right in front of it and then give her heck for doing that. She's like, I didn't do that, you did it. So then I had to eat some humble pie and apologize for my error. But it happens. So if you got to see that, you got to see the nice design on my shirt from Cat's Store. I think it looks quite nice. It's salmon. It's not pink, Bill. It's salmon. It's manly. Because it's fish, and men eat fish, and men catch fish, right? And some women. So it's manly, though. I love fish. I love fishing. Probably more than I love fish, but I love fishing. Anyway, welcome to Sunday Church. We're glad to have you. We are in our series called No Offense. And last week we talked about an offense is something that so many of us pick up so quickly, and it's a choice, really, of how we respond to the offense actually happening. So offenses happen all the time. They come at us in different forms, but we choose what we do. Are we going to let that offense lie, or are we going to live in that offense? And I'm not going to make you put up your hands, but how many of you just, this is a mental hand put up, okay? Hand check in your head, not live, you know what I mean. How many of you have chosen to live in offense against someone or something or a group or whatever? And I think probably for the most part, a lot of us have at some point. And it might be against a family member, could be against your spouse, your brother, your sister, could be against somebody in the church, could be against that neighbor that likes to play music too loud. Or like I had a lady next to me when I was a kid, and I remember I was, deeply offended. I was 8 years old and so deeply offended, 8 to 12 even, because I would kick a soccer ball over her yard, and maybe she was the one on offense, because she threatened to keep my soccer balls. Every ball that came over the fence was hers, and I was mad. So then I would go take things out of her garden, like her peas and other things like that, because you don't take my ball. And she had a really yappy dog, so she knew when I was in her backyard. But living in offense is something that I believe really slowly poisons us. And it poisons our perspective, it poisons our relationship, it poisons our lives, and it holds us back. I want us to be people that do not drink that poison. Amen? We don't want to drink that poison. So last week, I just want to quickly give you a highlight. Every offense is something that comes in two stages, right? Stage one is the feeling of offense, right? It's The thing that happens when something comes into your life, this offense comes into your life, and something caused you to feel overlooked, insulted, hurt, violated, taken advantage of, not considered, you feel offended, right? And everyone at some point is going to feel offended. So that's the first stage. And the second stage is really the choice to live or not live an offended life. Not to live in that offense. And this is the stage that so many of us don't know about or so many of us don't take account for in our lives. We have this offense come into our life and all of a sudden we grab onto it, we give it a big hug, and we run with it, don't we? We like to tell, can you believe what so-and-so said about me? Can you believe how they talk to me? Like, do they know who I am? I'm Pastor Dave. Or maybe you say, you on the drive home, you're like, can you believe what Pastor Dave said? What does he know? I don't want to see hands on that one. But so many of us live in an offense, and we have the choice whether to take it with us or leave it there, don't we? And leaving it there is the much better option because when we take it with us, it starts to slowly poison our lives. See, feeling offended is not the same as living offended, right? Feeling offended is when the offense comes into our life. Living offended is carrying it and letting it poison you and drain you down. We can either choose to drink up that old glass of offense when they pour it for us and we choose to drink her down, or we can choose to just drop it and let it go. We can use our freedom to live free, the freedom that Christ has brought into our lives, just to drop it and not carry it with us. How many of you don't want to drink that poison anymore? I didn't hear an amen, so maybe you do. Right? We don't want to live in that poison. We don't want to drink that poison. We don't want to carry it. Amen. So I'm going to give you a little background. We're going to read Matthew 11 here in a second, so we don't need to put that up yet, but I want to give you a little background of this. So John the Baptist is who we're talking about in this, and he's in prison for preaching and teaching about Jesus. And John the Baptist, he's an interesting fella. Really, he jumps in wholeheartedly, and he really endorses Jesus, doesn't he? And when the time comes, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist even. And John is like, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me and all this stuff. Do you remember this story? So let's read Matthew 11, 26. So John's in prison, and we read, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, to Jesus, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you heard and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And tell John for me, this is what he says, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So let's paraphrase this this line and provide some inferred message here, okay? I want to bring some clarity. This is our key idea for today, and we're going to look at this later in the sermon about another recollection from Luke, from Dr. Luke, about the same thing that happened. So I just want to focus on this, if you will, okay? So Jesus says to John, blessed is he who is not offended because of something I am doing or not doing that he may think is not fair or inconsiderate to him. That's kind of what he's saying there, right there to him. And blessed is he who is not offended to me, because John's a little offended. John's ticked off right now, okay? I don't know if you picked that up from what he said there, but John's a little cheesed off, if you will. And it's safe to assume here that John the Baptist, who has done so much for Jesus, like preaching him, he leveraged his influence to have people follow Jesus. It's safe to assume here, based on this scripture, that he is offended, don't you think? Think about that for a second. Like, he's like, well, I'm hearing about all this stuff. Go talk to him. Go tell him. Go tell him I'm here. Go let him know what's happening. That's why he sent his own disciples there, his own followers. And he says basically to him, like, hello, Jesus, remember me? Remember what I did for you, Jesus? Do you even know what I did for you, Jesus? Like, I'm here, Jesus, and you can get me out of here, Jesus. This is John's attitude here. And he's like, kind of, okay, I'm going to give you insight into my own home here. My wife laughs. So when I ask the kids to do something for me and they're like, right? They give me that little attitude and that little tone. Bill, you know that tone, right? Oh, come on. Sometimes my wife gives me this tone or sometimes I give the tone. But it's just like, come on, you know what I'm doing for you? You know what I did and here I am and you can get me out of this, can't you? That's what the kids call when they're in trouble at school. Dad, get me out of this. And they can get, and you can get them out of prison, out of trouble. You could speak the word, Jesus, and I would be out of here tonight. John probably feels a little lonely. He feels forgotten. And based on the fact that Jesus is here, he feels offended because he hasn't come to get him out. Have you ever felt this way? Not necessarily with Jesus, but just with life, with people. And like I've heard people say things and statements, and maybe you've said a statement like this. Why does so-and-so have something? And you're offended because somebody has something, or that offends me that they did this, and I can't believe they said that. Like I said, can you believe Pastor Dave said that this morning in service? That everybody can be healed. Maybe you've said that. If you have, good, because maybe you're thinking about it. But the number one reason people live offended is unfulfilled expectations. Did you know that? The number one reason is unfulfilled expectations, and that's really the story behind today, is expectations. There should be another slide there, isn't there? There we go. Unfulfilled expectations. Would you say at times maybe you've lived offended because of unfulfilled expectations? So what does that really mean? And I want to dive into that. But if you answer, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And this offense of unfulfilled expectations comes to us in three big old glasses of offense. I wish I had, you remember, they still have A&W. They have the big mugs of A&W root beer. I wish I had three of those big old mugs of root beer, because those are our three big old glasses of offense we're going to talk about today. So the first glass of unspoken expectations is this. The first glass is unspoken expectations. And it's this. Jesus never told John that he would never be in prison, did he? Did Jesus ever tell John? And I think this is applied to our lives in some form or another. See, Jesus didn't say anything like that to John, but it's easy for anyone to feel offended when we feel that someone could do something for us to help us and they don't. Like I said earlier, John was mad because he was in prison, right? He was mad because Jesus was in town and didn't do anything about it, right? He's offended. He's ticked off. He has unspoken expectations of Jesus. Something he's never said to Jesus or never asked for, but he just expects Jesus to know. Any husbands ever get the look from their wife and you should just know what your wife is upset about? No hands, guys. Keep your hands down. Right? I'm going to hear about this later too, so don't worry. Can you believe what Pastor Dave said when I get home today? And those expectations are the glass. Then they talk to us and they tell you why they're offended after the fact and why they're carrying this offense sometimes, or sometimes they talk to others. They say things like, well, they could do this for me, right? You could do this. And if they would do that, that'd be really good for me, wouldn't it? And they should do that for me. Whatever the situation, guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? Your wife said this. Women, you probably know this too. You could have got me that cup of coffee in the morning when you were sleeping in or doing whatever. You should do that because you love me. And if you would, I'd be much happier. I'm going to get in so much trouble for my wife after this, so I'm just going to leave that one there. But they could do it, and if they would, I would appreciate it, and they should do it, shouldn't they? Jesus, you could get me out of jail. And if you would, and you should, I'd be free. How many of you have had that type of an expectation of people? Well, you could do it, could have done it. And if you would have done it, and you should have done it for me. Do you hear what I'm saying here? This is unspoken expectations. And boy, if they don't do it, when they could have or they would have and they should have, boy, do you drink that cup of offense in a hurry, don't you? And boy, are you on the phone texting or putting your cryptic Facebook or social media post out there about so-and-so and this and that. And you know what I'm talking about. You've all read those messages. Maybe you've all put one of those messages on Facebook. I might have put one in my time of those messages on Instagram or Facebook. They didn't call you. They didn't reach out. They didn't offer to take you for lunch or breakfast, or now you're upset because they should have and you're offended that they didn't. You invited so-and-so, but you didn't invite me. Have you ever been there? Like, they took him out for lunch, but I was right there. They could have asked me to go. How many of you felt that way? Unspoken expectations. They never promised that they were going to take you out for lunch every time they took Jimmy out for lunch, did they? But you got offended that they didn't. The second glass is unmet expectations. And this is slightly different than unspoken expectations. This is the glass they pour you when someone said something or did something that was wrong or you felt was wrong. See, last week we talked about how you have the right, right? You have the right to be offended. You have the right to feel that way. But why would you choose that? Why would you choose to live an offended life? Doesn't Scripture tell us that God works everything to the good? Doesn't He? So why do you have the right to be offended when something isn't happening quite the way you see it around you within in your circumstance with people? Things will work out to the good. We need to press into the good. We need to pray in the good. We need to live in the good, don't we? We need to take that offense and drop it when an offense comes. When we have an unmet expectation, we can't let that unmet expectation take us prisoner. Can we? Should we? Should we allow that unmet expectation to make us a POW, a prisoner of war, a prisoner of offense, a POA, or POE? What's that? Oh, POO! Boy, good thing it's not spelling time, too. A POO can't make us a prisoner of offense. Sorry, I was just flying off the cuff and I should have wrote it down so then I would have spelled right. Now I'm embarrassed. And maybe you've heard the song by Taylor Swift and I'm really embarrassed, but you need to shake it off, right? I'm not going to do the dances. I'm not going to sing the song. I would if I was at home because I really don't have much timing, but you need to shake it off. You gotta not let it come in you and hold you down, pin you down. Offense wants to pin you down, and you need to shake it off, and you need to live a free life because we are free in Jesus' name, aren't we? See, I think, and I've heard it before, that offense is kind of part of the bait of Satan, that he lures us in and pulls us in, and that's what offense does, and this unmet expectations. This isn't expectations that have been laid out like, as your pastor, I'm going to take everybody out for supper once a week, so we're going to set up a schedule. This is not part of the deal. I didn't sign up for that. Maybe it's your expectation, and maybe I'm not doing it, and I'm not going to do it. But you know what I mean, right? It's something that we've never talked about, something we've never agreed to, and now I'm not doing it, but you think I should. Unmet expectation. We can't drink the poison of offense, and when somebody offends us with an unmet expectation, we can't drink the poison, is what I'm saying. And when you're sipping on that offense, you're not going to sip that along. You're going to start chugging that offense, okay? And when you're sipping on that offense, you know what that's called? Social drinking. You're social drinking, because you're out there and you're like, wow, can you believe John took Bill out for lunch the other day, but he didn't invite me. I didn't tell him I wanted to go out for lunch. We never talked about lunch. Stacy, can you believe John and Bill went out for lunch and they didn't call me? They didn't take me out for lunch? Like, who do they think they are? I'm their pastor. Good grief. If anything happens in this church, I should know if anybody's taking somebody out for lunch. Nathan hasn't called to take me out for lunch in like 3 years, Nathan. Come on. 3 years, no lunches. 3 years I've been here and he hasn't taken me out for lunch once. I'm not. But you know what I'm saying, right? I should have made sure that was on my work agreement, that every 2 days, one of the board members was going to take me out for lunch, and every other week, one of you guys was going to. That should have been there. Now I'm offended at all of you. Unmet expectations. I'm having fun with it, but I want you guys to hear how this is something that really affects so many of us. The third glass is unreal expectations. Unreal expectations. And this is the glass you have in front of you when you presume to know more than you could possibly know, and then you pass a judgment on it. Have you ever done this? I think a lot of us are guilty of that. For those of us who are not farmers, we know the challenges farmers face, and I'm not even going to pretend to try to talk farmerese. But when you... You know, they face challenges. And so how can I complain about whatever the farming issue is? Because I don't have a clue. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's an example that I think is very real, because so many of us are like, oh, the stupid rain would just end, or maybe we need more rain, and I don't know what they need or what they don't need, and why am I complaining about it? Well, if the co-op would just sell their fertilizer for, I don't know, do they sell fertilizer? If they just sell their fertilizer for cheaper, I'd be way better off right now. Do you know what I'm saying? It's unrealistic expectations. It's stuff I have no clue about, so I shouldn't be speaking about. I'm not informed on the matter. Another thing is the airline industry. This is probably an easier one for lots of us to understand than the farmer industry, okay? The farming industry, not farmer industry. You know what I'm saying? The airline industry. Have you ever tried to fly somewhere and either missed a flight, were delayed, were waiting, and then you're just like, well, the plane's right there. Why can't we just get on and catch the flight the rest of the way? The last time we were coming back from Las Vegas, Stacy and I sat in Calgary for an extra 6 hours or 5 hours. We should have been home at 3 o'clock. We didn't get home until 11 o'clock. The plane was right there. They took us from our gate where we were supposed to. They moved us gates. And then the plane's there. And we're like, why are we not boarding? Well, we don't have a clue about things like safety precautions or a number of pilots or hours that flights need or flight attendants need to work or if somebody got sick. But yet I'm here being an expert and telling them, why are you not taking me on that plane so I can get home and see my kids? Unrealistic expectations. We all have them. Like Kat, why don't you have more size 13 and 14 shoes in your store that fit my big feet? You know what I mean though? She could have had 3 pairs of them and somebody else went and bought them. But look at my nice shoes now. But you know what I mean, right? Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to give you guys all different examples so that this, I hope, makes sense. And I'm just trying to give them to you in a real-world life that we all live. And when delays happen, when things happen, when something isn't the way we think or it should be, we need to show a little grace in life, don't we? I got another example of this not showing much grace, and it's pretty embarrassing to share, but I'll share it anyways. I remember, not so long ago, like last month, going into Saskatoon and we were getting school clothes for the kids. And all we wanted to do was go out for a meal. And that poor girl had to tell me, well, you can't sit together because there's 7 of us in our family. And I was hot. I was red under the collar because I'm like, what do you mean we can't sit together? And I might have used that tone. Stacy had to grab my hand. I'm like, we're a family. Like, what if just put us across the row? No, you'll have to sit across the restaurant from each other, sir, so you don't interact. I'm like, what do you mean you have to put us across the restaurant? That's insane. And I was just mad. And I mean, they have rules that they need to follow, right? But my expectation was I want to sit together. And then the thing that really kind of pushed me over the edge, not over the hill, but over the edge, was she said, sir, we're a family restaurant. We can't do that. I said, but we're a family. But I'm not. I was pretty upset with myself after the fact. I got offended because of an unrealistic expectation. I expected my life, me, to be far more important than the rules, or I didn't have a realistic understanding of the rules as well. So when the glass is getting filled up and served up in front of you for this unrealistic expectation, the best thing to do is pour that glass out, not to drink it down. See, God called us to greater ways and higher ways, far greater than us. And when we have this unrealistic expectation, oftentimes it affects us, doesn't it? Like me in the restaurant, me wanting to get on that plane on time, me. We're called to higher ways, not to lower ways, not to ways of drinking offense. God has given us power to live above offense, hasn't he? We're called to live above offense, aren't we? And this is where we're going to jump in to that other story where Dr. Luke tells us the same story. And he retells us the story. We reread it here in a second, but I think it helps further clarify these three glasses of offense that I was just talking about that I extrapolated from the last scripture we read. And I just want to read this scripture for you again. So let's read Luke 7, 18 to 23. And it says, John's disciples told him about all the things that Jesus was doing. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who has to come, or should we expect someone else? They're calling Jesus out. Are you really Jesus, or are we waiting for someone else? Because I'm here in prison, and you're just ignoring me. It's kind of what he says there. And when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else? At the very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sickness, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. And the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who had leprosy are cleaned, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's why Jesus is here. The good news to be proclaimed for people to receive healing, people to be whole. And then he goes on to say, and this is what kind of, this last little bit really smacks me around a little bit sometimes. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Blessed is anyone who does not take offense on account of me. See, when I read those two, I took the correlation between stumble and taking offense and living in offense. And I'm like, boy, when I take an offense, I'm really stumbling. I'm really not focused on what Jesus has or what he's called us to, but I'm stumbling and focusing on me. See, living offended or living in offense really does cause us to stumble. It shackles us, like I said last week. It holds us back from the things of heaven. It holds us back from blessings and promises. We've talked in the past about even for before we have communion, if we have any unforgiveness, if we have an offense towards each other or somebody, before we take up communion, what should we do? We should go make things right, shouldn't we? We can't be living with offense in our life. See, we can't drink that poison. We don't need to drink the poison. We don't need to live with that poison. You don't have to live offended. You can feel offended. You can have somebody offend you all you want. All you want. But it's your choice of how you're going to walk from that offense. Are you going to hold it and just hug it and it doesn't make you feel warm and comfy because it's an offense. Make you feel all prickly and angry? Or are you going to let it just drop and live a life of grace and walk as we've called to live? I'm not saying allow people to make you their punching bag. We said that last week. We're not the punching bag. But it's how we live after that. We need to use wisdom, don't we? Don't live offended. You can feel offended, but don't live offended. I'm going to invite the music team up. And I'm just going to ask, while they're coming up, how many of you have stumbled, are stumbling, are laying flat on your face because of offense? And if you are, I pray you realize that it's holding you back from the the blessings and the promises that we have. Because we can't be holding on to that offense. Because when we're holding on to that offense, what are we doing? We're looking straight at that offense all the time. And our eyes are not fixed on Jesus, are they? Our eyes are not fixed on that open heaven that's available for us as believers, is it? How can it be when all we see is this? All we see is the thing in front of us. And that's how we are as humans. And when we drop that, we can look straight to Him. Amen? Guys, I'm going to invite you guys. We're gonna pray here. And we're going to take an opportunity like we did last week. And it's not an eloquent prayer that we're going to do, but I'm just going to pray with you guys. And if you have offense, I'm going to give you a chance again to shake it off. Shake it off. Like Taylor Swift says, shake it off. I don't remember how the whole song goes. I haven't listened to it in a long time. But you know what I mean? I don't want you to live with it. I don't want you to carry it. I want you to live free lives because Jesus has called us to freedom. Amen? So if you have an offense, we're going to pray right now. We're going to let you have an opportunity to shake it off. And then after that, if you don't know Jesus, we're going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. So just pray with me. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. God, if we are drinking any of these three cups of offense, Father God, I pray that today you will help those of us that might be carrying that. Father, I pray that you will bring that to our realization. And Father, that we would just shake it off, Father God, whether it's any of these unmet expectations, unrealistic expectations, God, I pray that we would shake it off. We wouldn't hold on. We wouldn't drink in the poison, Father, but we would want to live free lives because you have made us free. Father God, I pray that we would just be people wanting to live connected to you and not connected to our offense. So Jesus, those that have that are holding on to that offense, Father, as we shake it off, God, I pray for freedom. I pray that you would make our minds right and connect us to your blessings and your promises, Father. Allow us to have clear vision of that open heaven and all the things that you've promised from your word, God. Father, I pray that you would just encourage us and show us the blessings you have for us, God, as we walk and we live in freedom in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that for those of us that maybe are not ready, we want to keep drinking that poison, God, that you would continue to work in our hearts to stir us up inside and so that we would want to live free lives and that you would start changing our hearts and softening our hearts and essentially, God, you would be that appendix in our body and help remove that poison from our body, that impurity, God, and that we would be wholly focused on you. So, God, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you don't know Jesus, maybe you're watching online, maybe you're here and you're just like, I don't know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. We're going to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. So a couple things I want to say. We're going to pray in a second. And I'm going to invite everybody in the room here to pray and repeat after me, whether you know Jesus or not, because that way whoever's beside you might feel more comfortable to do it. And if you're in a room or you're at home, you're watching with a group of people, I'm going to ask all of you guys to do the same. Just repeat after me. Or maybe you're by yourself and you're ready to accept Jesus and you're ready to cross that line from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, as the God of the universe, and that He came to earth to die for us and for our sins so that we can know Him in a new and real way. If you want to do that, I'm going to invite you to just repeat after me and just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And after we do that, I'm going to invite you to call me at the church, 306-882-2453. Catch me at the back door if you're here. Facebook message me, email me. I just want to talk to you, okay? That's what I'm saying. I want to talk to you, and I want to give you. We have Bibles here that we want to give you. So if that's you, connect with me, please. And if you're not from town, I want to connect you with a Bible-based church wherever you might be. But that's a long spiel. I just want to invite you to accept Jesus this morning. So would you guys bow your heads? Would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Jesus, I'm tired of walking alone. So come into my heart. Make me new. Make me pure. Make me clean and make me new. Jesus, walk with me. Teach me, lead me for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you, high five somebody you're with. Put an excited face on Facebook. Put an excited face on YouTube. Message me, call me. I want to connect with you guys. I want to connect. We want to talk. So guys, I'm going to just pray one more prayer of just blessing for this week, and then you can all go on your way, okay? So let's pray one last time. Dear Jesus, I praise you and thank you for this good morning. God, as we continue to talk about offense, I pray that you would continue to reveal these things to us, that we would start living aware of when we grab onto an offense and when an offense comes, how to shed it and just drop it where it is. Father, I pray that we would all live free lives this week, God. And God, I pray that we would have opportunities to love our neighbors, love our family, and love everybody we come in contact with and share your goodness with them. God, we praise you and thank you. We love you. Give us a good week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.